It is first, I think, important to recognize that we are moving really quickly through the Acts of the Apostles here in these last few days of the Easter season, and have to cover something like almost eight, nine chapters in the next 3 days. So it's quite condensed. There is a lot that is skipped, a lot that is passed over. I would highly recommend, if you have the opportunity, to open up your Bible to read those last eight chapters of the Acts of the Apostles before Pentecost. Would be a good spiritual practice. But in today's first reading, we get a little bit of a trial of St. Paul, and he stands up and he recognizes that the crowd is divided between the Sadducees and the Pharisees, and he speaks that he is a Pharisee and he's on trial for hope in the resurrection of the dead, and that great dispute arises. And it is helpful reminder that those Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection or spirits or angels, because they held basically that the only true scripture, the only true divine word of God, was the first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch, the Torah, those writings of Moses, as they believed, and they rejected pretty much everything else. And there are a number of different reasons for why they did this. And I'm sure if you asked different groups of the Sadducees back in their day, they would have given you perhaps some different reasons or different emphases on those reasons. And it is a discussion, even amongst scholars now, about why they went in this direction. And a large part of it, most people will say, is because they wanted to reject a lot of the oral tradition of the Pharisees, of the things that were passed on in instructions to help them understand the law, the Torah, and everything else. And as wanting to reject that, and again, perhaps even with good reason, to say it has become so regimented, so minutia-focused, that it is losing sight of something bigger, but they wanted to reject some of that, and in doing so, they were eventually forced to basically go just to the Pentateuch, just to the Old Testament, to reject a lot of these other things of the teachings and then the words of the prophets who would interpret those things, and eventually saying a lot of this other scripture or is not from God. And so they throw out so much of it. And you could make the case that they are not looking at those different texts, those different writings of, you know, the Torah and of the prophets and of the Psalms and all these other things, and saying, this is obviously inspired, this is obviously not. The chances are, I mean, maybe some of them did something similar, but it seems more likely that they basically came up with, this is our theology, this is what we believe, and this is what we want to reject. And as such, then they now have to reevaluate what all the other Jews have held, that these are the word of God, these are inspired, these are good for formation in the spiritual life. And so because of their theology, now they go back and say, this text here seems to contradict our theology. This text here speaks about angels. This text here speaks about praying for the dead. This text here speaks about hope in eternal life or in the resurrection. And so they have to, if they're going to hold their theology, reject scripture again and again and again until they're left with just those five books of the Bible that do not specifically mention any of those things. And it might seem like a very odd way of doing your theology, to have your preconceived notion of that theology basically make you go back and reject books of the Bible. But the same thing happens today. And there are indeed many Christians who have their theology, this idea about the faith, that causes them to do the exact same thing. And in some ways, it started with Martin Luther, who famously criticized different books of the Bible, including like the Letter of St. James. It's calling it an epistle of straw, that he would, more than anything else, like to remove that from the Bible because it contradicted his theology. It contradicted the way that he wanted to interpret Scripture. And when Scripture seems to contradict him, he says, no, I think I'm just going to throw that out of the Bible and hold to this. And eventually, again, they might say there are other reasons, but it seems certainly that's more likely the case, that there are many Christians who have said, well, these books of the Bible seem to contradict our theology, our teaching that you shouldn't pray to the saints, that you shouldn't ask for intercession, that you shouldn't lift up Mary as an exemplar or a model. And they're also, therefore, these books need to be rejected. And they'll come up with other reasons to do so, they'll come up with other excuses, but because primarily it contradicts their theology. And I think generally we can say that's bad theology, to let your preconceived notions determine what goes into the Bible. It seems to put the cart before the horse. It seems much better to recognize what God has revealed, what God has given to us in his word, in his scripture. And from that scripture, from that word revealed, and most fully from the word himself, Jesus Christ, be within that theology and that understanding of God. And from that word, see how scripture is speaking, see how scripture leads us in theology. My brothers and sisters, scripture is so important, so valuable for us, and we must hold fast to scripture. It is good to be exceedingly familiar with scripture, with all that it teaches. And there will be parts that are challenging. There will be parts that seem to, at times, maybe contradict or be difficult. And it is important for us to research and to go into depths about how we are to understand these different pieces, which seem to be saying maybe different things at times in regards to theology. And to see, ultimately, how the Catholic Church has reconciled everything. In great doctors of the church, in great, oftentimes, simplicity to show forth, this makes sense, this is not truly contradicting, this is what God has revealed. Let us take the time in our lives to enter into scripture, to enter into what God has revealed, to be formed by that very word, by Jesus himself, and let that theology flow from it, and let that theology lead us ever closer into the Catholic Church.